In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Well, it seems there, for at least for me, there has never been a more preachable time in life for these texts. This is one in a series of upcoming apocalyptic texts that show up at the end of the liturgical year, the beginning of Advent, the new liturgical year. They're apocalyptic texts. And I'll admit, most of my life I've felt pretty far from these texts. Apocalypse is for some other distant time and place. But here we have these disciples marveling in wonder at the beautiful stones of the temple, these pillars of security. And within one sentence, Jesus offers the promise that it will all be torn down. Upheaval is imminent. Just read the news this week. Political parties at war, members of parties at war amongst themselves, the climate talks in Glasgow that hit a gridlock, foretelling the realities of the impacts of climate change. The economy inflated, supply remains stalled offshore, crisis seems unavoidable in our time and place. And as we come to the end of this church year, the text asks us to consider the end times. We've also been conditioned to think that end times or apocalypse is actually about the end of the world or the end of civilization. But the word apocalypse actually means to reveal. Hearing a gospel like this is about revealing what is true, not about the future, but rather about ourselves. And although it's almost never welcome, it's good for our souls. It's good for the church to endure a revealing, a truth-telling an apocalypse. You may be thinking, what is so good about this? Some of you know my husband's brother has lived and taught in China for over a decade. In the Chinese language, the word for crisis has two characters, one representing danger, the other, opportunity. As my colleague Philip Duvall wrote in his blog at the beginning of the pandemic in March 2020, the idea of an apocalypse is that we are transformed by the acknowledgement of the truth in our lives. It's the end of the world as we know it because we can't unknow these things. And he wrote in March 2020, when we emerge from our quarantine and social distancing, we will look at each other differently. We will live differently, love differently. Here's the thing about the gospel today. Jesus makes this terrifying promise. That lockdown, that quarantine we all went through, don't be alarmed. This had to take place, but the end is still to come. Let's unpack how all of this is actually good news. Hannah, in the first book of Samuel, knew about apocalypse. Day after day, she endured the pain of infertility, and this was in a world that considered barrenness an utter curse. Her barrenness is what Tony Evans called an unsettled ache. Evans explains, the worst turmoil of all often takes place in one's own soul. This happens when you can't seem to live with yourself, when your own pain, anxiety, depression, and regret eat you up, leaving you with an unsettled ache. You are at war within. As biblical scholar Alpha Netter Wines reflects an unsettled ache lingers no matter what one does. Possibility thinking, positive psychology, words of affirmation, wishing, hoping, even praying doesn't make the hurt go away. Like the smell of smoke after a cigarette has extinguished, this type of pain relentlessly meanders in one's thoughts. It's an unwelcome guest that wore out its welcome long ago. Unlike hurts that are at least manageable, this type of hurt affects one's entire life, leaving heart wounded and spirit broken. This type of wound impinges not only on life circumstances, but also on one's sense of self as well. This is the quote-unquote Hannah kind of hurt. This kind of hurt leads to addictions and emotional disorders, and people will do just about anything to escape the agony as they search for escape, some way to numb the pain, remove the anguish, and discover some momentary peace. Hannah resorted to no such escape. Hannah teaches us how to endure the apocalypse, the revealing of truth in our lives. A wise person once told me, when I was in a dark place, if you are going through hell, keep going. Here's what Hannah teaches us. Confident, fearless people of faith endure to the end as people of prayer, people who respond to God no matter what. Things were so bad for Hannah that even the prayer of her misery is at first mistaken by a holy man of God as drunkenness. I don't know if that says more about Hannah or about Eli. Yet she perseveres, confident in God's love for her, fearless in her prayer. She ultimately does bear the son she so desired, and her response continues to be to turn to God in praise, and she keeps her promises. She gives that beloved son, Samuel, back to God. And when Samuel leaves with Eli to receive mentorship, Hannah sets into motion a whole series of events that propel Israel into monarchy. These events carry the seeds that ultimately lead to more apocalypse. Babylonian exile, the loss of the temple, land and monarchy, and the return to rebuild under Ezra and Nehemiah. And all of this takes place over the course of 500 years. Apocalypse after apocalypse unfolds and unveils the truth of the history of our faith. And it starts with Hannah's faithful prayer. Even in the midst of her own personal hell, Hannah turns to God in prayer. The writers of 1 Samuel place her story at the beginning of the book, what looks at first to be her end is actually the beginning of a great unfolding of the transition of an entire nation. As the kingdom of God is unveiled, not one stone will be left here upon another. As Episcopal priest Susanna Guthrie writes, she urges us to ask in the midst of our own apocalyptic times, quote, "What is it that we will see? What is being revealed in these events? Vulnerability for sure, and that nothing, absolutely nothing, is a sure thing. And what is real? What is at the heart of everything? What is at the heart of your own heart. Dominican sister Miriam Therese McGillis wrote in 1986, words that ring true 35 years later, "It is no accident that we have been born into these times, that we find our lives unfolding now with our particular histories and gifts, our brokenness, our experience, and our wisdom. It is not an accident. In talking about the fate of the earth, we know that fate is really up for grabs. There are no guarantees as to its future. It is a question of our own critical choices. More than anything, we must become people of hope." In these apocalyptic days, be strengthened by Hannah and her faith that revealed that whatever seems like the end is not, in fact, the end. Where each of us is now, today, is the beginning that unfolds the hope of the days, years, and even centuries ahead. Our way through is reliance on God, trust in God, hope in God. Amen.